This is the Lifted Life Podcast. We created the show to help you live a lifted life. Let's do it.
Today is episode 33, Self-Worth.
We're going deep today. What in the world? You really had to adjust your chair right when we got started. It's okay. We forgive you because you are worthy. You're born that way. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. It's just the way you were made. And that is what I wanted to talk to you about today. Basically, we can get stuck in these patterns of trying to validate our way to good enough. And if we just work hard enough, if we just find the right life partner, if we just make enough money, if we just have the right house, all of these things that we start to create in our mind that we could possibly finally be good enough. And the main message of today's show is just simply that you are already enough.
Where do you think that comes from? Because I think most people would say that, yeah, you earn worth. Like, you have to earn your self-worth. Like, and you and I both agree that you're born that way. You're born worthy. It's not something you earn. It's something you have. Mm-hmm. And you can give it up and lose it, but it's not something you earn.
It's not something someone can take from you.
Yeah,
it's something you give away.
You can give up or you can take back.
But in the right or even the wrong circumstances, we'll just say, if someone's constantly saying, you got to earn your worth around here. Isn't that the same? Some people say, like, you got to earn your worth.
You carry your weight?
I don't know. Carry your weight?
I don't know. Like, but if you think you earn a paycheck, you earn money, you work towards things, you earn a degree. And I think people apply their self-worth in the same way. Like, they have to earn it somehow. Or when I get this, then I'll be worthy. And mm-hmm. that's just frankly not true.
Right. You're and also, worthy. What happens when you live your life that way is that you're just chasing your tail, trying to get to some illusionary level of enoughness. Like, it's like a hamster on a wheel, right? Like, you don't actually get anywhere when you try to earn your worth, because it's not even possible, because you were already there to begin with. And so when you work backwards like that and you chase your tail, you'll never, quote unquote, arrive. Whereas as soon as you grant yourself the gift of I am worthy, simply from that belief and that thought and that knowing, you're there. And from that place, you can then go out and earn the bucks or create the family that's dreamy and all of these things, or the business or the job. But it's not because you have to for your worth. It's because you want to, because it's fun, because it's what lights you up, because it is your function in this world to be lit up doing these things, but not ever because you need to earn your worth. So your question was good. Like, where does it come from? And I think that it's often or rarely not intentional, that a parent would be like, yep, we'll make them feel not worthy so that they'll get in line. It's not like that. It's an accidental guilt, shame type complex that I think we oftentimes get, which is like, if we're not pleasing our parents because we're acting out, then it's kind of this natural, like, well, you know, since you didn't do this, and then we feel not good enough. Whereas, yeah, it gets really complicated when we start to go in that.
Yeah, it does get complicated. And I don't think the example you gave, like, the parent actually knows they're doing it.
I think
by example, if they don't think they're worthy, then the child's going to see that, oh, my parents don't think they're worthy. So there's no way I'm worthy if they don't think they're worthy.
But it's not also linear like that. It's instead like the parent doesn't feel worthy. So then they further take out that unworthiness out on their children. Mm-hmm. This is all very subconscious. None of this is like a known thing. It's more just a hidden healing that needs to take place still.
But I know it's being very simple about it, but don't you agree it's true that if the person just realizes that they are worthy, that's enough? Like, to me, it's not useful to go back and assign blame to who made me not feel worthy. The truth is, I gave up my worthiness at that time. Like,
I mean, I think we've talked about this before, though, because as children, we do give all of our power away because we can't actually care for ourselves. Mm-hmm. We can't put the roof over our head. We can't drive to the store to buy groceries. And so much of our livelihood is dependent upon what our parents can bring to us. But there comes a point where we reach emotional adulthood And so we then decide I'm going to now take responsibility for not only my actions, but for the way I feel. And you and I were kind of going back and forth on this. I believe that there's often symptoms or signs of healing that needs to take place. And you were saying, or it could just be a decision that I want to feel better about this.
Yeah. So recently I've been kind of playing with this thing of like, I get frustrated when I have certain thoughts that I don't want, that I know are not useful. Mm-hmm. And I've heard something recently that said, maybe you didn't control that thought, but you can control the next one. Mm-hmm. So just because I had a thought of something that I don't want to think about, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And maybe I did control it. Like, there's no way that I didn't control it, but it's irrelevant. It's the next one I can control.
A couple ideas pop into my head. One was this meme. A lot of my life is based around memes now, people. So get with the program. All my life lessons are learned from memes. It's kind of like used to be kindergarten, but now we just learn from memes. Yeah. It said, basically, if you're walking down the street and you see a gal with a short skirt and you're like, girl, you're a hoochie. You need to cover up. And da, 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 and you catch yourself and you're like, that's not what I want to believe. I want to be like, girl, you working it. You look good. Good for you to have that body confidence that you can wear what you want on a hot summer day. And then the whole meme was basically saying the first thought was what you've been conditioned to think. Your replacement thought that you say, hey, whoa, 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 hold up the train. That's more of who you really are and who you want to be. Mm. Notice that. I got goosies on my right leg when I said that. Because we all have these negative, hateful, judgmental thoughts. And then we're like, whoa, I do not want to be like that. Mm-hmm. Where did that come from? I don't know. But what do I want to think instead? And so that second thought is who we really are. And that to me provides some just kind of relief that...
Yeah, that's very interesting, because that's the second part of what I was working on is, okay, so you can control the next thought. You can also control the judgment about all your thoughts. Mm-hmm. And just because you have a thought doesn't make it right or wrong. You applying a meaning to it is what makes it right or wrong.
Yeah.
And that's just what you're saying, I guess, is the same thing. Like, you can have thoughts, just remove the judgment.
Yes, it reminds me a lot of, I'm reading The Untethered Soul right now. It's a book my sister, who has her own emotional wellness coaching program, that she has been pushing on me, you gotta read it, you gotta read it. Actually, what's weird is she kept posting about it, but she never directly told me to read it. And I was like, well, maybe I shouldn't read it, because maybe it's not for me. False. I need to read it. I stole it from her house. I'll give it back when I'm done. But actually, I'm going to buy a replacement copy because I love it. And I have never thought about it this way. But essentially, you have this dialogue of thought running through your mind all day long. I knew that. 50 to 60,000 thoughts a day is what I learned from coaching school. But it's never been phrased this way. In the book, he talks about it as, imagine this as like this roommate, this annoying roommate who just literally will find a problem for every solution, will find something that's wrong as soon as you solve the first problem. And imagine that roommate is actually, instead of inside your mind running this dialogue, just imagine them sitting on the couch next to you. Would you take their advice? Would you really allow your emotions to fluctuate with them? Or would you be like, you need to shut up? That is the mind.
Yeah, or turn them off, like just ignore them.
So a lot of times I talk about tell a better story, tell a better story, tell a better story. Mm-hmm. But essentially, I'm still just talking to the roommate. And so he suggests go deeper, go into this awareness, pure consciousness, and just literally allow yourself to be this amazed watcher, which, by the way, all of this would have fit really well with last week's show, Awareness. So if you haven't checked that out, please do. If I had read the book, I would have shared so much more in that type.
It's all interconnected.
Right? It is. Because we're talking about self-worth. Yeah. And if we're kind of lacking on self-worth, then it's probably because the roommate has a lot of negative things to say about our self-worth. But
deep down, it's all a mind game, right? It's all...
Well, kind of. He's saying no. He's saying you'll always suffer and struggle if you play the mind game. If you continue to deliberate... That's not... Help me out.
Delegate?
Nope. Maybe it is deliberate. Maybe that's what I said.
Like think on or...
Yeah, to continue to go back and forth with the roommate, then you will literally be busy for the rest of your life, not actually living your life, but just convincing the roommate of your own worth.
That's classic Abraham. Like when you give resistance, it persists.
Right.
Like you can't, it can't go away if you keep resisting it. And I believe suffering's a choice. I believe people choose to suffer.
Well, and a lot of times this kind of, what I'm saying is fascinating is that there's two conflicting pieces of advice that I give, but welcome to human experience. One of them is tell a better story. And that is really useful sometimes. Give yourself an affirmation and focus on it, right? But that's still playing in the realm of mind and the roommate. So what they're saying is go deeper to this level of awareness where you are just watching and you can just have this humor, this lightness, this spirit that's just like, oh, that's what that is.
Interesting.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Interesting. With no judgment.
No attachment.
Yeah.
It's the attachment. So judgment, people say, well, I'm not judgy. I try really hard not to be judgy. Yeah, but you're freaking attached. Mm. If you're suffering, you're attached because attachment is the root of all suffering because we're attached to an outcome.
And it's also a choice, though. I know that's controversial on people.
It's a choice to be attached, right? Because they're both if it wasn't a choice, then we wouldn't have free will. And so to me, that is the very premise of free will, to continue to associate with the mind, the roommate, or to drop deeper to just this level of awareness. And tying it all back to self-worth, when you tap into awareness, the deeper level, the stories aren't there. There's just this pure knowing of enoughness. You don't have to prove it. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to tell a better story. You can just be enough. Just be, period, in that moment.
Yeah, you're naturally enough. You're going back to a natural set point of how you were created, how you were born.
Which is what we said in the very beginning, that you don't have to chase it. You're just like a hamster on a wheel. And the funny thing is that once you step into this enoughness right here, right now, not because you've created something or haven't created it, want to create it, but haven't yet, any of that nonsense, but instead you just step into your enoughness, then you say, what would I like to create from here? And now you're not chasing your tail. You're not on the hamster wheel. You're not working backwards. You've stepped into your power. And I think that's the really, really cool thing about this whole level of deeper self-worth. So today I'd love to take a quick minute to shout out to our mood boosting probiotic. It's our original gangster product. The whole reason the Lifted brand was started, we had no idea what amazing fun we'd have creating a variety of other more sensitive products for various people, but the mood boosting probiotic is really doing well and we thank you for that. Today's review highlight says 5 stars, great probiotic. Definitely helps my digestive issues more than any other probiotic has. Now, what I love about this is that it highlights how our probiotics are not just mood support. They really can get in there and help from a digestive perspective alone. So a lot of times people say, well, I don't need a mood probiotic. I just need something to fix these digestive issues. We got you covered there too. Just because these strains and species help with mood issues does not mean they can't do the digestive work too. So thank you for that review.
That was something that we used to talk about, the side effects or side benefits. And
beneficial side effects is what I like to call it.
Yeah. We used to talk about that quite a bit and we kind of stopped because we focus more on the mood because that's kind of what we were focused on. But I think it's, like you said, that's something that we should probably do a better job going back around. And
well, yeah. And it's our whole, our body, all these systems work together. So digestion leads to better sleep, leads to more energy, leads to all of those amazing things. So thank you for that review. If you haven't left a review for us yet, and you're loving our product, man, we would so appreciate that. So look us up. And I'm actually getting ready to do, I did an Instagram giveaway. Remember you were like giving me slack. You're like, you keep saying you're going to do one. Well, I did one, but now I'm going to do another review or a giveaway soon. And it's going to be another selfie giveaway. We haven't done that since like a long time ago.
Good.
Not everyone likes taking selfies, especially with their probiotic, because that's kind of weird. But guess what? It helps our business a ton. And we think you're all cute. And I think I'm going to do it in a way like the first X people that do it will get the bottle so that there's no like, oh, I don't really want to go through this weirdness of doing this and not getting my reward. So I think I'm going to do it like just
bam, bam, bam.
Bam, bam. Yeah.
Cool.
But if you don't want to take a picture of yourself with your probiotic, maybe you could take a picture of something you love with your probiotic, like a houseplant or your garden or the sun. I don't want to limit it to people who don't want to take a picture with their probiotic. But one time someone did it with their dog, which we liked, but then we thought, is this sending a message that these probiotics are for dogs? Which, interestingly enough, said sister mentioned before, has been giving to her dog, and it does help with the itchiness. So a lot of dog probiotics are actually very similar to formulas created for humans, but it's not really our marketing message.
Yep.
All right. Well, we hope you enjoyed today's show. You are worthy just the way you are. Go out there and create something amazing from that wonderful place of knowing.